Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 19 at 22,661. Have milk and cookies if you want. S&P 500 up 3 at 2,537. That's another record high as well. NASDAQ Composite up 2 at 6,534, a record. Russell 2000, small and mid caps, down 4 at 1,507. Yield on the 10-year unchanged at 2.33%. Oil down 52 cents, breaking down below $50 a barrel, $49.90. Gold up $3.50 at $1,275.60 an ounce. Let's start with some economic data. Institute for Supply Management's Index of Service-Oriented Companies jumped to a 12-year high of 59.8% in September, up from 55.3%. Last time the index was higher, you got to go back to August 2005. Numbers over 50% positive for the economy indicates expansion. Anything over 55%, well, that's just considered exceptional. ADP reports private service employment slowed in September. Firms added 135,000 jobs. Now, the ADP data produced in conjunction with Moody's Analytics may be more important than usual this month, as it should be less affected by hurricanes than the government data. Workers are included in ADP payrolls even if they're not paid due to bad weather. Still, Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi said hurricanes Harvey and Irma cut job gains by about 50 to 60,000 jobs, mainly by forcing smaller mom-and-pop retailers to close. Friday's non-farm payroll report, that'll be a little bit crazy. Estimates are all over the place due to the hurricanes. The number I'm hearing is around 100,000 jobs, which would be very weak, but not enough to change the Fed's outlook since it's just a one-month blip in the data. This could provide a nice little trade setup for dollar bulls. We have strong economic data, but a weak jobs number could offer a minor fleeting dip. In a bizarre moment on Tuesday, Trump told Fox News he was going to have to wipe out Puerto Rico's debt. Trump said, "We're going to work something out. We have to look at their whole debt structure. You know, they owe a lot of money to your friends on Wall Street. We're going to have to wipe that out. That's going to have to be, you know, you can say goodbye to that. I don't know if it's Goldman Sachs, but whoever it is, you can wave goodbye to that." End quote. Now, it isn't clear how Puerto Rico's debt could just be made to disappear outside bankruptcy court. Still, to wipe out $74 billion in municipal debt, billions of which are guaranteed by the island's constitution, well, that would shake investor faith in a market long considered one of the safest of havens. Lower-rated municipal borrowers would almost certainly see their borrowing cost rise to account for the added risk. The debt is widely held by hedge funds, pensions, and residents of the territory. Many of the hedge funds, by the way, could be considered vulture investors who swooped in after Puerto Rico was already in trouble, buying up debt for pennies on the dollar, hoping to force payment at full par. But the biggest chunk of Puerto Rico's debt is pension obligations. The Commonwealth's budget is under control of a federally appointed oversight board mandated as part of the bankruptcy legislation created by Congress to wield broad sway over the territory's finances. The panel approves the island's budget. It's meant to help make unpalatable decisions such as closing schools and cracking down on tax evaders. In addition to the existing debt, damages from Hurricanes Irma and Maria are expected to run about $35 billion, or a per capita cost of about $10,000 per citizen of Puerto Rico. The power grid is destroyed. It might be 6 months or more to have electric service restored. The tourism industry is in dire straits. The overall economy just a mess. Puerto Rico doesn't have money to repair the hurricane damage, much less to pay off its earlier debt. Now, after Trump's remarks, a shudder went through the $3.8 trillion muni bond market, and Puerto Rican bondholders just freaked. Puerto Rico's beaten-down benchmark bonds plummeted from an already unprecedented 44 cents on the dollar to as little as 30 cents. If Puerto Rico's $74 billion in debt can just be wiped away, what does that mean for the rest of the muni bond market? That doomsday scenario, of course, is contingent upon Trump's actually being able to cancel all of the Commonwealth's debt, amassed over decades and enabled by a yield-hungry Wall Street. Well, there's no indication he has an actual plan to do so. Administration officials, as they have done throughout his presidency, quickly walked back his comments. Soon after, Trump's budget head, Mick Mulvaney, told CNN not to take the president word for word. On Monday, Catalonian politicians will try to hold a parliamentary session to evaluate the October 1st vote to secede from Spain. Then they are expected to declare their independence. What happens after that remains a mystery. Spain and the EU say the independence vote was illegal. Spain's High Court launched an investigation against top Catalan police and organizers on suspicion of inciting rebellion against the state. Just hours after the Spanish king charged that the Barcelona separatists were acting outside the law and outside democracy. As the king addressed the nation, trade unions in Catalonia led a powerful general strike that shut down businesses, highways, and schools in a mass protest against police violence. Protesters took to the streets. Stay tuned. Richard Smith, the recently former CEO of Equifax, testified before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee today. Smith said the Equifax data breach happened because of a breakdown in communication at the company. They knew their software was vulnerable and needed to be fixed, but the tech guy just never patched the glitch. Smith didn't say who the tech guy was, but said he has since been fired. Senator Al Franken gave the unknown tech guy a name, called him Gus, saying, "Why is the security of 145 million people all in the hands of one guy? Why is it all up to Gus?" Well, if Smith knows Gus's real name, he kept it to himself, but Gus may not be entirely at fault. Smith said it's possible this one guy didn't know all of Equifax's various business portals were using the faulty software. Later security scans did not detect the vulnerability either. Equifax made more missteps after it publicly disclosed the hack September 7th. A customer service representative, I don't know, let's call this one Sam, tasked with responding to customers' tweets, sent out incorrect links to the website the company created to help consumers sign up for credit monitoring. Instead, that person, Sam, was tweeting out links to a phishing website with a similar name. Sam, the customer service representative, is no longer with the company. Richard Smith resigned with a multi-million-dollar golden parachute and still refuses to accept responsibility. The hearing also drew a silent protester dressed like the Monopoly Money character, you know, rich Uncle Pennybags and top hat, monocle, sat in the audience behind Smith but in the range of the video camera. She was there to protest forced arbitration. Equifax's initial offer of free credit monitoring after the hack would have made customers accept arbitration to settle disputes with the company, something Smith has said was a mistake and has since been removed. Google held a splashy press event in San Francisco today. They showed off the second generation of various Google devices, including two new versions of its Pixel smartphone, a new premium laptop, a cheaper, smaller model of its home speaker, and a larger version designed for music. All the products go head-on with recent offerings from Apple and Amazon. Those two rivals are aggressively shipping devices with built-in features like voice assistance and augmented reality that could upend how people access information, and that's Google's main business. Google's latest device refresh is all about making sure it can claim a lead in the next era of computing and keep its services front and center in people's lives, and that means a sharp focus on its artificial intelligence software. Now, Google owns Android. That's the software behind most smartphones. But it has long struggled with ways to tame its many hardware partners and make them competitive with Apple's iPhones. Apple tightly controls hardware and software and has lured consumers with mobile payments and its voice-based Siri assistant and initial forays into augmented reality, technology that splices the digital and physical worlds. Amazon, meanwhile, has emerged as a viable contender in the smart home market with its assistant Alexa and a seemingly unending suite of these Echo gadgets. Samsung, which makes Android phones, has tried to push its own new voice assistant, Bixby, which is still light years behind Google Assistant. Meanwhile, my pick for the coolest gadget unveiled today goes to Google Pixel Buds. These are wireless headphones or earbuds, which can be paired with Google Assistant and can then provide live translation of up to 40 languages. The International Energy Agency reports solar power grew faster than any other source of fuel for the first time in 2016. IEA says 165 gigawatts of renewables were completed last year, which was two-thirds of the net expansion in electricity supply. Solar, powered by photovoltaics, grew by 50%, with almost half of the new plants built in China. Solar PV capacity growth will be higher than any other renewable technology through 2022. This marks the sixth consecutive year that clean energy has set records for installation. IEA expects about 1,000 gigawatts of renewables will be installed in the next 5 years, and China is the undisputed leader in renewables and solar. The Supreme Court has thrown out an appeal in a trademark suit brought by Louis Vuitton against a California company that makes tote bags featuring cartoon drawings of Louis Vuitton bags. Court ruled permissible parody. Dow Industrials up 19 at 22,661. It's a record. S&P 500 up 3 at 2537, a record. NASDAQ up 2 at 6534, also a record. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.